Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Continuing our discussion of protecting the spouse in estate planning. A lot of spouses will outlive one or the other, and we need to make sure that there's protections built into our plan for that spouse, maybe the extended family. And you've been discussing that on a number of recent shows. All those shows are available on your website, legacyandfaith.com.
That's right. And really what the main premise that we're talking about is that most people have no estate plan at all. And so if that is true, then a majority of people potentially have never had the conversation that I can protect my spouse, I can protect my family. And so if we don't even know that there's an option out there, then it's really difficult to take a step in that right direction. So there's a couple different, there's three different stages or three different, categories that we've broken this protection issue down into. The first one was tax and Medicaid. So in other words, if you have more money, you've been blessed, and it reaches the area to where you're going to have an estate tax. So you have more money than what the taxing system wants you to have, then we can protect, make sure that that your money can not go to Washington State, but rather go to your family or charities. So there's multiple things we can do to protect you in an estate tax scenario. Then we talked actually just last week more in depth about Medicaid planning. What happens if we don't have very much money and we want to make sure that our spouse has nothing left if indeed they were to have a health issue. So again, you can head over to legacyandfaith.com, listen to some of these past shows, but those were the first category. Now, what we're going to talk about today is moving into how do we protect against blended families, his and her kids? What happens if someone gets remarried after losing a spouse? And finally, what happens if we, if the one who dies is the spouse that managed all the finances in the relationship? So it's rare that both spouses manage the money together. Typically, what I see is one spouse manages the finances. We lose them, and then the survivor is really in a difficult predicament because now they're grieving and they're having to relearn how to pay the bills, how to invest, the relationships and everything else. So there's ways we can protect the survivor against that scenario as well.
Well, I had kind of a personal question. I know of a situation where mom and a new husband were married for a while. And she had put away quite a bit of money from her work into an IRA.
Yeah.
And she died first, though. So all of her money, even though when she signed their trust, she wanted most of that money to go to her children.
Right.
Although her surviving husband was first in line, you know, to take care of him as long as
Absolutely.
He may need it. But then afterwards, she was thinking it was going to be going to her children. Well, she dies first. And he spends the last year of his life. He wasn't going to be living much longer, come to find out. And he changed the trust completely to give it mostly to charity and not her children.
Yeah.
So what was the mistake there? So her wishes definitely were not followed.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we see that a lot. And, we see it a lot even in first marriages to where you've been married for 50 years. The first one passes away. And of course, over a long marriage, I have couple after couple after couple look at each other. Well, of course we trust each other. And I, unfortunately, what I know that they don't is that life is going to change when you lose a spouse. And it's a scenario that we don't know what we don't know. We watch other people go through it. And so we have maybe an inclination of how we might handle that scenario. But the truth is we don't know. And so an estate plan needs to be specifically catered to ensure that the first one to pass away, that their desires are fully upheld. And so I agree with you, Mark. Most couples want to ensure that the surviving spouse has access to all the finances to ensure that they are well taken care of. As a matter of fact, that's why we build things together, and that's undeniable. But whether it's a first spouse passing away or whether it's a second marriage issue, what I have seen on multiple occasions is your story, which is the estate plan was never done properly. Now, there's a lot of unfortunately, there's a lot of templated trusts, wills, and other things, and they give people a false sense of security. So my first voice of reason here, the practical step is you need to get to an attorney who does estate planning on a regular, or even it's the only thing that they do. And there's plenty of really good estate planners out in the marketplace that can help you design a very specific trust to ensure that your story does not take place. Unfortunately, there's a lot of online options, or there's a lot of individuals that will go to someone who hasn't practiced in this area a lot. And so then they start using templated documents, and those templated documents are more rudimentary. And I've seen them walk across my desk all the time. And so it won't accomplish the full effect of what somebody desires because of something like an IRA, which is, well, are the taxable issues more important than, in other words, should we pay a little bit of a tax to make sure that you're a full desire takes place, or is it okay to leave more power and control to the surviving spouse? And so, of course, I don't know the specific story that you're talking about. I don't know the document. I don't know what went on in the room when they developed it. And so there's multiple layers. So really the biggest deal is we got to find people that do this on a regular basis to develop a plan that is more specific, that is strategically designed for a couple to ensure that that vision is carried out. And yes, it's worth the journey. I don't care if you have $100,000 or $100 million. I don't care how many zeros you put on the back end. My experience is that we all have desires that say, I want to make sure that if I were to die, this, this, and this happen.
And that can be done through a trust.
It can be done. It's very difficult through a will, because wills are a simple check writing instrument.
Right.
So if I use a will for my wife, then number one, all I'm doing is just saying, sweetheart, I love you. You get everything. So it accomplished one major goal, which is it got it to the right person. And there is a value to that for sure. But all of the discussions of spousal protections that we've had over the past shows that we're talking about now, those are all eliminated when we use a will plan or if we use a beneficiary designation, a TOD. So if your account says give it to somebody, it's the same thing. It directs it just like a will does to the right person, but that's all it can do. It cannot set up any type of tax protection. It can't set up Medicaid protection. It can't set up blended families. It can't set up remarriage issues. So all of these protections that we're talking about are out the window when we use a will plan or a beneficiary transfer on death type of planning. So those are good and valid for a very narrow purpose, but they may not accomplish the full heart. They certainly would have not accomplished what you were talking about. And in your story, they even had a trust, but the trust didn't work properly because the assets didn't blend with the plan properly. And that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I see with most trusts is that there is a trust and it has instructions, but then the assets are not properly titled or pointed to the trust so that the trust instructions would be followed. And that's where a majority of trusts fail in actually working as designed. So utilizing a trust has multiple steps. They're great tools. And actually, it's the tool of choice that I use. However, they have to be done correctly in order to really work to accomplish the full intent of someone when they die. And that's a really important thing, Mark. And let me say one other thing here before we move on to maybe start talking about blended families, which is the story that you told is rather sad in multiple reasons. And one of the biggest ones is that we had someone who did estate planning who thought that if I do this, it's going to work according to how I imagine in my mind. And yet the bottom line was that the vision of that person was overridden by someone else down the road. And it happens over and over and over.
Well, her surviving spouse.
I know. I understand. And I've watched long-term healthy marriages, someone dies, and then the surviving spouse go against the decedent spouse's wishes for the kids. Mm. I watch it over and over. So we can create a plan that ensures your intent is followed, whether it is the spouse you trust or whether it is if someone were to get remarried. And I was in law school and I remember visiting a friend. And I know I've told this story on the radio show before, but it fits right here, which is mom dies and then dad 3 years later gets remarried. But dad never changes his will. So his will has his first wife's name in it. And when he dies, I think 6 or 7 years down the road after a 6 or 7 year marriage, the court then is presented with the will. And it says, oh, my first wife, everything goes to her. So the court looks at the document and says, we believe that the intent of the individual was to assist and make sure that his spouse, regardless of the name, is taken care of. Now, I have a hard time arguing that the court came up with a wrong conclusion of law. I didn't look at the document, but indeed, I could understand why the court would reach that conclusion. So it doesn't fully offend me. But here's the story, is that within weeks of getting that ruling from the court, guess what the second spouse does? Because now it's all hers, right? It didn't matter that her name was not in the will because she was the spouse.
Boy, I don't know.
In 2 weeks, she unwinds everything and gives it to her daughter, which left my friend and his two brothers without a penny from their parents' estate. Mm. Now, I don't know. I never knew his dad, but I can tell you that this is a more common story than what people believe. And as a matter of fact, as I say this, listeners are probably out there going, oh, yeah, I know what Aunt Susie went through the same thing. Or, oh, yeah, my neighbor. Or, oh, yeah, my person that I go to church with. Or, oh, yeah. And we have the story after story of this exact scenario, which is someone gets remarried, then they die, and the new spouse takes it all, and the original children are left out to dry. They never see anything from their parents' estates. And again, that comes back to we just never had the discussion and we never went back and we never took this thing called estate plan seriously. And really what's happened then is that it is left with deeply hurt feelings by my friend and his two brothers. And that should not be. So we need to do estate planning. We need to make sure that your plan thinks about 10 years after you're gone and not just about the event of closing your estate and getting money to the right person. Yes, that's good, but that is not the whole story of where things will be. And so we'll come back from break and we'll pick this storyline up a little bit more of how do we protect our spouse? And ultimately, when we protect our spouse, how do we protect our children and the intent of our estate plan?
Okay. And if people want to get in touch with you or find out more about maybe seminars, I know you have one of those coming up here pretty soon.
I do. Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. We have a educational session coming up on July 22nd at 6 p.m. That is going to be online. We'll see what the social environment is of whether or not we can allow people into the firm or not. But specifically, it'll be held online. So that is July 22nd at 6 p.m.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
This is Paul Graham from the Legacy and Faith Show, and I want to let you know that we have a new educational seminar, The Truth About Estate Planning with a Biblical Perspective, coming up on July 22nd at 6 p.m. So head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, to sign up for that educational interactive session July 22nd at 6 p.m.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Graham. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, discussing estate planning, of course, and this week's spousal protection. And you wanted to talk a little bit more about how to help the blended family situation now, Paul.
Yeah, blended families are actually a pretty interesting area when you are talking about estate planning. Most individuals believe that if they are married, that their spouse just simply gets everything. And this could be one of the major exceptions. So if you have no planning, and if your assets are not properly done, you don't have beneficiary designations on them, if something were to hit the estate, so that means that you passed away with something in your name, and you are remarried, and you have children that are different than your spouse's children. So in other words, we have a true blended family.
And you're just now starting estate planning.
And now you walk into the office. That is actually one of the most precarious circumstances in estate planning. So if you have never done estate planning and you are in a blended family, I am telling you, and if I could get on my knees on the radio show to help you in any way, I am telling you, please get to an estate planner. Find someone that you trust to sit down with to make a plan, because most individuals would believe my spouse will just get everything. And in this one specific incident, that is not true. The children of the decedent, when they are not the children of the surviving spouse, have financial rights when that person passes away. And everything may not get to the survivor as you want or believe. So we've talked a lot in the past shows that for a married couple, it is typically their first desire to that the surviving spouse receive everything to ensure their financial safety. Then after that surviving spouse passes away, there might be different instructions depending on who brought what into the marriage, what assets go to which kids, if there's been inheritances, and the list goes on and on and on how the ultimate division may go. But in blended families, I'm asking you and begging you, please protect your family. Please take a step and put it in motion. Please do not just listen and put on your to-do list and just keep looking at it. I should do estate planning. If there's anyone who needs to do estate planning, it is this. Look, if you don't do estate planning and you had over $2 million and you end up giving money to Washington State or the federal government, well, that's a bummer and that's solely on you. You could have given more money to somebody else. But your surviving spouse typically will have access to things during his or her lifetime. If Medicaid planning, like we've talked about in past shows, that could leave a spouse more destitute. So you should really get some good estate planning there. And then this is the other area that you just gotta do it. Hmm. You have to protect the family. You have to protect your spouse. If you are in a blended family, please do estate planning.
Because you're suggesting that the original children will come forward and somehow get the money from the second wife, and so that she'll be in want.
And that's possible. Mm. And it depends on how much is there. But all I'm saying is that there are rights that the children have. Look, my wife and I have been married for 28 years. We have two kids. If I died, my children have no legal right to come in and take money from my spouse. Okay? Nice and simple. If this was a second marriage and I died, my children do have rights to come in if I did not do planning well. Mm. And they could have something to say in how the money is distributed, whether it's to the second spouse or to themselves or whatever the case may be. So estate planning is essential in this area of law. I don't want to get into the weeds because they're complicated to understand, but please just listen to the voice of do estate planning. It is critical. Or if you have children who are in second marriages, tell them to do estate planning. This is just one area where you should not mess around. There's more at stake than just paying the tax man extra taxes that you shouldn't have. Mm. So blended families are a complicated area. You got to make sure. And look, it's easy to overcome. That's the good news. So with estate planning, you can easily overcome this danger, but you can't overcome it if you don't do estate planning. So again, we're back to this. More than 50% of people never do estate planning. Stop it. Get into an estate planner. I don't care if it's me. It's fine if it is. I'll help you. But if it's not me, then find somebody that you trust. Do estate planning. It is worth the journey. Mm. And so blended families, and then also we got to be able to protect from second marriages. If I were to die and my wife were to get remarried, I want to make sure my kids are taken care of in that scenario. Mm. And we talked about that before break. So really the last thing I want to talk about as we wind down today's show and really wind up this specific discussion point of how to protect spouses. Is what happens if we lose the spouse that has done all the finance work? They've paid the bills. They've balanced the checkbook. They have the relationship with the financial advisor and everything else. Well, this is a very common scenario as well, to where the one who does all the finances passes away and it leaves the surviving spouse in a very bad position. So first of all, we have someone who is grieving because they just lost a spouse. Now they have financial insecurity because they don't know how to pay the bills. They don't know what bills we have. They don't know what money or what checkbook to use. There are people who are completely ignorant of their finances. So number one, to overcome this, I encourage you to bring in your spouse and stop.
Even in today's scenarios, marriages,
oh,
still.
Yes. Really? Oh, yes. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And so number one, stop controlling. Get rid of that controlling spirit. God doesn't control us. He invites us into a relationship to lead us and guide us. So bring that spouse, whether it's the husband or the wife, I don't know. It happens both ways. Bring them into the discussion and don't take, I don't want to learn this as an excuse. Hmm. Lead and guide your spouse for their own sake. Then beyond that, so number one, we have to do that. Number two is that we call it the empty chair, which is the chair was occupied by the one who did all the finances. Now that chair is empty and the surviving spouse doesn't even know where to go. So many of you have relationships with financial advisors and the relationship is yours. In other words, you've made the decision on whether or not you like this person, and your spouse may even go to these discussions as far as talking about your goals and your dreams together, but really doesn't participate or stop to understand the financial plan. So that's another way that you can really make sure that your spouse is participating in those meetings stop having conversations with your financial advisor alone. Bring your spouse in. Make sure that it is a joint discussion. And then on top of that, we need to do good estate planning. We need to make sure that the financial advisor that you have in your life who knows why the finances have been invested in a particular scheme, why they are in particular stocks or ETFs or whatever the case may be, mutual funds, and the list goes on of what is the investment strategy. We need to have a plan that says, if I were to die and I'm managing the finances, I need to make sure that my trust gives my spouse step-by-step instructions. Make sure that the advisor is not kicked out of the plan at the worst possible time. Mm. And make sure that there's other people who can step in, whether it's children, whether it's other individuals, to give a practical assistance to the surviving spouse. So these are other things that we need to talk about. Is there an inequity in the relationship of who manages the finances or not, and what would that mean to the survivor? We can build a plan to protect the surviving spouse against the anxiety and just the practical point of needing to take over the financial scenario when they've never done it. So these are the different types of protection. We need to do tax. We need to think about Medicaid, blended families, remarriage protections, and we need to think about income and also principal protection to make sure that the financial plan is moving in the right direction.
Okay, how to protect your spouse. Great last few shows. You can find all of them at legacyandfaith.com. You have an upcoming seminar in July, Paul.
That's right. It's coming up on July 22nd at 6 p.m. So July 22nd, 6 p.m. Head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up.
Okay, always great information. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.